Welcome to the Airplane Geeks Podcast. This is episode 663 of the show where we talk aviation. I'm Max Flight, and I'm at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh with a number of great friends. Why don't we go around the circle? You can introduce yourself. You can say if you've got anything on social media going, where people can learn more about you. And we'll just go around. We'll start with you, Hillel.
Well, I'm Hillel Glazer, and I am at Oshkosh, thanks to Max, as the Aviation Entrepreneurship and Innovation Correspondent. So you'll be hopefully hearing interviews that I'll be doing all week here in a future episode or several. And you can find me on Twitter at HotelIndia11Echo1. That's H-I-11-E-1. And that's about all you need to know about me. I'll move this along to our friend Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura Davis. First time at EAA, and happy to be here. Happy to meet everyone. So, having a good time.
Terrific. Hi, my name's Tim. It's my fifth Oshkosh Air Venture. I live near Vancouver in Canada, and happy to be here.
Now, before we continue, I'll just mention that because of travel restrictions, there are far fewer international visitors here to Air Venture, but you found a way to smuggle yourself out of Canada, I guess, and you flew down, correct?
I did, yep. That's the one way. We can't cross by land at this point, but through airplanes, luckily, we can make it here. The other restriction is a COVID test before we cross the border to allow to be able to get onto the flight, and then I'll have to do the same on the return. I'll need a COVID test in order to return to Canada.
All right.
Hey, it's Logan Lynch. Second time coming to Air Venture. Came in 19, and it was great. Excited to be here again. It's probably another record-breaking crowd this year, it seems like. So flew in from North Dakota yesterday, so glad to be here.
North Dakota, but the land of the severe winter.
I'd say severe everything. We get the extremes on both ends. We, 103 up there the other day, but we'll get down to negative 50 in the winter, so it's the extremes, yeah.
Crazy, crazy. Also with us.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. This is David Abbey from New York. Love the Airplane Geeks, and it's not because I'm on it right now. It's just one of my first podcasts I've ever listened to and got me involved in aviation. So it's great to see Max again at his first Oshkosh, and I flew in yesterday commercial from New York via Denver because of the, crazy domestic airline operations lately. But it went smoothly, no problems. I'm so glad to be here, and just great to be among the aviation friends.
Now, you must have been here dozens of times.
Well, maybe not dozens. There's some other people here who have been here much more than I have. This is my fourth year in a row, which, again, is not much. If you ever talk to people around the grounds here, they'll say this is my 20th year, this is my 30th year. Yes. And, Max, I'm sure when you got here, did you say I'm coming back next year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. After the first 10 minutes, basically. All right, also joining us.
Hey, everybody. Dispatcher Mike, Flying Life Podcast. It's great to be here. Max, it's great to have you guys here, and for my podcast and all that, again, our deepest condolences on the loss of Launchpad. I mean, he is, as you said on your guys' show, he's a giant, and he is definitely being missed this week, and I'm definitely feeling it as well. So great to be here. Great to see you at Oshkosh, and just welcome. I absolutely love it up here.
Yeah, finally, my first time. I keep telling people the reason that I finally came to Air Venture was so that I could get Rob Mark out of my hair because he's been after me every year to come here. But no, it's not true. I would still be here for sure. Mentioning Launchpad, I think it's worth taking just a second to thank Martin Kemp, who was in Texas, picked up the chocolates that Launchpad had smuggled out of Germany, and brought them. Flew them here to us, and some of them went to the Pipistrel booth to give out, and Hillel got some to give out, and I got some. We're having a sort of little event Tuesday night at Camp Bacon a little dinner, and we'll be giving out the chocolate that that I picked up there.
Yeah, Martin went extra 100 miles by printing out little commemoration to Launchpad and taping them to each individual chocolate. That was incredible.
Yeah, very much appreciated, and well done. Very, very well done, Martin. I'll give my impressions first, but let's talk a little bit about what your initial impressions have been about this year's event, because this is Monday, I think. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, lose track of days pretty quick, especially if you've been here for a few days already. You've got to look at your calendar to figure out what day it is, but it is still Monday.
So we have this is the official first day. So what kind of initial impressions did you guys have?
Well, since I'm counterclockwise in first, it doesn't feel yet like it's as full as it should be. I just feel like there's, I'm not as stuffed in with other people as I'm used to being, especially in the open areas. So if they had made changes deliberately to make it feel less crowded, they're working. But as we heard from this morning from the press briefing on the numbers, it's really a record year. But it still feels like what we all have come to expect from Oshkosh. So despite not feeling shoulder to shoulder with other sweaty people, because it is really, really, really warm this week, it does not feel overly crowded, but it still feels just like what I normally expect to feel like when I'm coming to Oshkosh.
You know, I was talking to some of the maintenance crew early because, like I said, I've been here over a week, which has been kind of fun to, arrive when there were few people here and then watch the crowd build day by day, the campers come in day by day. But some of the maintenance folks told me that they thought that there were more people that arrived earlier than had been the case in the past. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but other first impressions so far?
For me, flying in, and especially coming in here, I got here a day earlier than I normally do. We got here up around Saturday, Boast on Sunday, meaning we didn't have a snafu that happened with the airplane that caused us to be a day late. For me, Oshkosh always starts out on the arrival. I mean, it starts out at the arrival flying in, and Jack Pelton mentioned it a little bit about it, the change of the arrival for this year. I couldn't agree more. I think the arrival this year made it more predictable for the pilot to know what they were doing. For those who don't know, they added 3 more VFR points on the arrival this year and really extended it out. So ATC has the ability to tactically manage the amount of traffic that's landing in Oshkosh, and then go through and try to stretch it out so there's no VFR holding. And it worked out really well. And on Saturday when we got here, it got to the point where the arrival started 5 miles south of their new furthest point. So it was 55 nautical miles of airplanes 1 mile apart, nose to tail, all the way to Oshkosh. And it was absolutely amazing. And everyone was doing their part. And ATC was calling people out who weren't by tail number, which really kind of kept everyone else in line. Hillel mentioned numbers and all that. 2019, there were about 3,500 airplanes on arrival at the airport closure time on Sunday, airport open climb first day Monday morning. This year, 7,928 aircraft on the field Sunday, 8 p.m., on the ground. So, you look back at 2019, there was a lot of weather issues the field was closed for 2 days until Wednesday in a lot of places because of, we called it Sloshkosh 2.0 in 2019. So there's the numbers. But first impressions, besides that, I would agree with Hillel. It doesn't seem as crowded, but the numbers indicate differently. But overall, a lot of me was kind of like, I wonder what Oshkosh is going to be like. Well, to me, Oshkosh is normal. I don't see any major changes than what I would have expected in 2019. I'm not going to, I'm really missing that they don't have blank. I don't know what that is yet. It's all really good so far.
Yeah, there were a few things that couldn't come because of restrictions at the time when the decisions had to be made. And so if you're used to certain things being here, like the FAA warehouse or hangar, where it's just FAA in every way, shape, and form, and you can get all kinds of questions answered by people who actually write the rules and adjudicate the rules, that's not available this year. It was very popular, but that was because when the government had to make the decision to go or no go, the conditions would not allow them to make the positive decision to come, which is not their fault. But other than that, there's a few things are different, but the area where all of the exhibitors is full. There are even new exhibitors that have invested a lot of money in a lot of big space that I've never seen before. One company was just 3 years old, and they have all got a big space. So overall, it feels normal.
Other first impressions?
I'd agree with what everybody said about the numbers. I'm staying in the dorms, and I think somebody we talked to this morning said they're at least 90% capacity, and they've said in previous years probably 30% of that's been international, and it's obviously all domestic this year, so it's awesome, though.
Back to the numbers for just a second. Someone lurking in the background here who everybody knows that doesn't want to be part of the podcast today. We'll get her on eventually. We volunteered to park to park planes who are arriving to the North 40 camping area. So we volunteered there Sunday morning, and by the time our shift was over at 12:30 p.m. Sunday afternoon, there were only about 35 spots left for camping airplanes. And keeping in mind that there were zero international, mostly Canadian, typically airplanes in the North 40, and there was only 35 spots left as of 12:30 afternoon on Sunday.
Wow. I mean, the place is physically so large that it's impossible for me to estimate how many people are here now, because they're just spread out over so much real estate, which is kind of nice. I mean, you know, you like a big turnout, a lot of people, but the fact that there is the density is so relatively low, it doesn't feel oppressive or anything. I don't know. Maybe that changes over the course of the week. I'm not sure.
You're definitely spread out. I mean, it's easily 3 miles from the farthest north end of the North 40 all the way to the newly expanded all the way down to the south end of the South 40. I mean, it is just an expansive amount of space there is to begin with, and that doesn't even include anything about that RV city that's out in the back we call Camp Scholler. I mean for me, I've only been out to Camp Scholler a couple of times, but that's a mega city on its own that's here. You have your camping mega cities of the South 40 and the North 40 and the Show Plains, but then you have most everyone else is out in Camp Scholler, which is just another great spot. I'm really happy with how the EAA expanded the South 40. They've created a bus all the way down this year, like the North 40 has, and they also have shower facilities and a red market all the way at the end. I mean, they're basically to the end of the airport property now where they can pack airplanes. We still, as of this morning, we still had room in the South 40, probably a decent amount of room too. So there's still room for expansion, but you bring all the Canadian aircraft that weren't able to come this year that will be coming next year, it's going to be plumb full.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your first impressions of the show.
Hey, so this is Dispatch Greg. I'm with Dispatch Mike and Flying in Life. So this is my second time coming here, actually. I came back in 2019 for just, I think, a day and a half. I don't even think it was 2 days. So I'm spending the whole week this week here, so I get to take it all in. Drove up from Chicago or the suburbs this morning, got in. There's just so much to see. My first go-to is to see the 737 MAX, a little impartial there. got to see that and tour the airplane. It was really cool. And then, you know, seeing all the humanitarian aircraft that are out there. That's really cool. So we saw the, what was the name? Samaritan seaplane.
We had an interview with Samaritan Aviation. It was really seaplane.
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, in just like 3 hours, that was all you're really able to get to. There's just so much to do, so much to see. So I'm going to really be taking it in the next couple days and getting some interviews done with other people and all that cool stuff. So
yeah, there's kind of a theme here concerning humanitarian aircraft and humanitarian organizations. One that I spent some time with yesterday was the Orbis.
Yes.
Flying Eye Hospital. This massive aircraft, MD-10, with MD-11 electronics in the cockpit upgraded. But the inside of that is just unbelievable. I mean, it is a world-class hospital facility. And they had some interesting statistics, and I don't have the numbers with me, unfortunately, but they mentioned that the number of people in the world who are blind is, and this is a number I forget, it's like 200 and something.
This is like 318 million
people.
Their press stuff says that almost 1 billion people in the world have some sort of vision impairment, and 90% of that is preventable, either with corrective lenses, or of the 380 million people that are blind, 70% of those people can have their sight regained with surgery. And their whole goal is to fly around and not to fix everyone's eyeballs. Their goal is to fly around and teach 46 doctors at a time how to fix someone's eyeballs. And that's how they do it. And I agree, Max, that airplane... We took through the tour, and about halfway through the tour, I forgot that I was on an airplane.
Right, yeah.
I thought I was in a hospital, and the way that they have that airplane configured is absolutely amazing. It's a full self-contained unit where logistically they can take that aircraft anywhere, schedule classes, run everything they need to run the hospital, the ground power units, the air units, the oxygen generating machine. All of that gets run off of the fuel in the airplane, and all of it packs up and fits into the airplane, so they can take it to their next spot.
And on the point of it being a teaching effort as well, the operating room has got cameras all over it. There's a section of the aircraft where there are seats, so that medical professionals from wherever they are can watch the operation being performed. And this is another thing that came out, I think, kind of from as a result of COVID, is that they also live stream the operations and so forth, so that the greater medical community around the world can benefit from the learning experience. So just fantastic. And the airplane was donated by FedEx. It's a former FedEx. I talked to the chief pilot, who is also a former FedEx pilot. And just the contributions that FedEx has made to, this organization is just phenomenal.
But yeah, they keep on giving. You talk about the streaming. Once a doctor goes through that program, they don't lose access to the program. They are now always connected to those medical professionals. So they're creating their own community of doctors to help solve the problem as well. And they also, when they go through, so with COVID, they had that online streaming platform. They were able to pivot incredibly quickly and do everything online. And FedEx has given them free parking for the last year over at Fort Worth Alliance Airport. So that's where the aircraft sits, because they can park there for free.
Yeah, very nice. As the background music starts, we're actually at Theater in the Woods in advance of a program that's going to start in a little while, so you may hear some of that background.
It is kind of unusual to have relaxing music in the background of an Oshkosh kind of recording, considering what's normally in the background is something very loud and beautifully obnoxious aircraft engine of one kind or another.
That's right. What other things have folks seen on the first day that kind of sticks out in your mind?
Myself, I'm involved in the experimental aviation part of the industry, so it's always good myself, I have a Vans RV6, and Vans Aircraft is here. They didn't get to celebrate last year the 25th anniversary of and the 20th anniversary of two of their kit airplanes, the RV8 and the RV7. So Dick Van Grensven was here, and I got to take that in and just be involved in the whole kit part of the industry. It's been good down on that side of the field.
One thing that struck me is Ford's involvement here. Is that new for this time? Ford has been a supporter
of AirVenture for a very long time. I don't know exactly how long, but I've been coming since 2015, and they have been here every time.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
And to Tim's point, somebody went through the 737 MAX, just left. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, it did.
And I guess the CRJ that's here, too, is about to leave as well. But anyway, so Tim mentioned the Vans RV. There's a lot of them here. Somebody went through the trouble of completely engineering from scratch a twin-engine Vans RV.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
It's there. You got to go see it. And there's no plans for it. There's no designs for it. This person engineered all of it, you know, to turn a single-engine plane that normally has its engine in the front, in the nose, into a twin engine with the engines on the wings.
Wow.
It's amazing what they do here.
There were some films last night, three films last night that I watched. One, they were all documentaries, basically. One chronicled the family of some airshow performers, the history, the struggles, the heartbreaks, the tragedies, the high points, which was I thought really kind of interesting, because we watch these performers, these acrobatic performers, but we don't usually get the backstory as to what's their personal life like and how does it relate to to what they do at these air shows. And then there was another film that was about the Grumman Albatross. They interviewed, spoke with a number of owners of those aircraft, one of which pulled theirs out of the boneyard and rebuilt it. He had a dream of someday flying that Albatross up the Hudson River and past Manhattan, Statue of Liberty and Manhattan and all. Some others had some interesting stories, but the cinematography was really amazing. I mean, these are people who are flying to Caribbean and South Pacific kinds of destinations where they're just flying into a lagoon and they're the only ones there. That was interesting. A little bit long, but that was interesting. And the third one in particular, was the Red Tails Scholarship Foundation, which was formed by a couple of individuals, including an F-16 pilot, noticing that there are very few black African-American pilots, and even fewer black women pilots. And so what they do is really kind of try to continue the tradition of the Tuskegee
Airmen.
Yeah, the airmen. It's been a long day. With these, young student pilots, and these guys are achieving amazing things, and they're really building future leaders. So, three good films in one night. It was a long night though, but that was kind of a high point for me.
So. A surprise for me was the last surviving Tuskegee Airman was at the media briefing for Piper that they did, and it was not announced. They didn't say they're going to do that, and they actually awarded the scholarship out at the media center. And with the current Major General McGee was there, and I'm like 3 feet from him if I wanted to be.
Amazing.
And our first or second Oshkosh. One of the two. I was at the same table with Bob Hoover.
Wow.
A legend, another legend. So it's the kind of stuff that it can happen at Oshkosh. It's just incalculable.
Yeah, yeah. What do some of you guys think that you might be looking forward to this week?
Well, I know for me, being an employee of UPS, they're bringing in their 747-8 tomorrow morning. So they also brought that in 2019. and that was exciting to see. So hopefully get back for a good tour, and especially getting up into the flight deck to see that. So definitely excited for that.
Big airplane, right?
Very.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see that. Yeah, I haven't seen the Dash 8 other than in pictures, and it's kind of hard to visualize just how big that is. What other kinds of things are you looking forward to this week?
There's a lot of things. Not gaining weight. I'm eating
luck,
and getting
on,
my
steps. Aren't you at 18,000 steps today?
Getting my steps in. You know, if I can get 20,000 steps a day, that'd be great. You know what I'm really looking forward to is the fireworks and aeronautics show Wednesday night. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Oh. I missed it last year, and that's going to be really cool. My wife is going to be out here, too, so she's going to get to enjoy seeing that. That and all the other good stuff aviation-related, you know. Any type of airplane is a good day to just watch and see. So,
did you have to twist your wife's arm to come out?
No, or? You know what? It's funny. She actually voluntarily wanted to come. And it's funny with her is she can't tell an airplane, one airplane from another. You know, she just knows airplanes have two wings. That's it. But she has no interest. So it was kind of weird to see her want to come. But I'm glad she's coming out.
There are a lot of couples here. Now that you know, I'm thinking about it. Just looking, you know, across the campsite, Camp Scholler and so forth. Even if only one spouse is kind of really an aviation person, it's really nice to see, you know, the couples, the family, bring the kids and so forth and make it a family kind of event. You know, that campground, before the show started, before today, it was kind of like the world's largest tailgate party. I mean, that's kind of the way I characterized it. There's just, you know, for one thing, you make new friends. Every time you turn around, talk to somebody, you know, you get somebody brings in their RV next to you, you know, okay, you made a new friend. Somebody comes in behind you, you made a new friend. You're just walking around and you see something interesting and, you know, you ask somebody about, you know, their setup or their rig or whatever, you've made a new friend, you know, and it's really amazing. We met one couple, a very interesting couple. They have a large teardrop trailer, so we were talking to them about that. And somewhere along the way, I mentioned that my daughter, for some strange reason, is a big Green Bay Packers fan. Now, she lives in Boston, right? So I'm not exactly sure what the connection is to Green Bay Packers, but she loved it. So we mentioned to these basically strangers that we were going to go out and you know, find some Green Bay Packers stuff, shirts, hats, you know, stuff like that. Well, they were out shopping, and they were at a sort of an antique kind of a place, and they found this Green Bay Packer antique metal, you know, plate with, you know, the logo and all this stuff. And so they bought it, and they said, here, you know, you were talking about your daughter and being into Green Bay Packers. We got this for you. I mean, these are people we'd never met before. It's just amazing.
I think Max is now officially swallowed Oshkosh hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. The Kool-Aid has been drunk.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's not hard to get addicted to this. I mean, I'm just an av geek, you know, just like many of us. I mean, I just love learning about planes. I barely go ever flying. I've flown a couple times, like here with Dispatch Mike. I've been flying, and I'm still alive, which is great.
It's only because he let you fly that, you know, you're worried about it. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been an issue.
That's right. That's right. So it's just, it's not hard to get hooked on it. And I'm telling you, I just love, most of us had not traveled during the pandemic or very little. And for many of us, I think for many people here, it's their first traveling since the pandemic. And I was so looking forward to this week, and we're only on, like, officially day one. And I'm just looking forward to this week and meeting more people and just going to events. And if you come to Oshkosh and you make a schedule, the odds of you sticking to that schedule are pretty low, because you're walking around, there's something else you want to see, or somebody you run into, or just something interesting. It is completely full of distractions in a good way. And one of our aviation friends, Laura Davis, is here in the group, and it's her first year, and I think she's having a good time so far in just her first day.
Yeah, it's been great. Overwhelming, but I figured it would be just from all the stories I've heard. And it's just been great meeting up with people that I've been talking to for a long time now, and now I've met in person. And but also then all the great airplanes and meeting, you know, met a mother and daughter from Michigan, and I'm from Michigan, just by happenstance at lunch. So just things like that always are fun to experience. But and then all the whole while there's, you know, aerobatic flying in the background that you can just look up and see whenever, just all these amazing airplanes that you don't get to see anywhere else. So it's just, you know, nothing's could be bad about any of it, I don't think. Maybe the weather, but you know, you forget about that because everything else is so good.
So what is your connection or your interest in aviation?
So I started out in space, you know, as a space nerd.
She's wearing a NASA hat,
yeah,
by the way.
And yeah, and then, but I've also always wanted to get a private pilot's license. So that's a few years ago, started looking into that, took a Discovery flight, and honestly didn't know anything about aviation. Didn't know there was a pilot shortage at the time. Didn't know like all these opportunities were out there. So talking to the CFI after the flight, and then randomly looked up podcasts, you know, APG, got into that, then started meeting other people, listening to other podcasts, you know, listened to Airplane Geeks a number of times. And so just kind of making those connections and making friends that way. And now I'm a aviation geek as well, I guess. So
yeah, it's the community. We talk about that all the time. The community is really really powerful. Maybe mention what the event is that's going to take place here behind us.
So tonight there's a panel. It's the 40th shuttle anniversary. So the panel tonight is all people involved in that program. Originally there were supposed to be a couple of astronauts who were involved in piloting and testing the shuttle out. They're not able to come now, but I know at least one of the other, I think there's one, Charlie Precourt, I think, is on the list. He's an astronaut. Paul Dye has written books and was a flight controller, so just some great people. The host is Emily Carney. She's a big person in the space nerd community. She's the head of the Space Hipsters, who has like over 10,000 members on Facebook. So just a huge community of people out there, everyone from just basic space nerds to astronauts and their families. So it's exciting to be able to have something like that at Oshkosh, and I'm excited to come.
You know, one of the things that really has impressed me is an unexpected number of workshops and sessions, and there almost any aspect of aviation that you can think of, you know, there's sessions, or there's something you know about that. I mean, there's just like dozens and dozens of things going on each and every day. It's almost mind, but I don't know how they organize it, to tell you the truth.
So the first thing that you have to accept when you come to Oshkosh for the first time is that you are never going to get it all. The FOMO is real, but then you get over it. So the good news is that, pandemics notwithstanding, you can come back next year and try to get to what you'd missed. But you're not going to, because there'll be some new stuff that's even more interesting for you. But you'll come back at the year after that to try to get that again. And then you're always chasing it, because it's always so amazing every year. And then after one or two years, you sort of get to the point where you're like, that's not why I'm here. It's just because it's a place unlike other experiences, and it sounds trite and, you know, hashed way too many times, but it, until you come and experience it, the descriptions are never going to be enough.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can't see, I don't know what fraction of the total you can see in a week, but it's pretty small, so you can make it. I mean, some people, I think, based on what I've seen, like to come and kind of do the same sort of thing each year. You know, they like to be in the same area. That's what they like. And, you know, it's sort of a routine each year for them, which is fine. But there are other people who use it as an opportunity to, you know, explore this aspect of it this year, another aspect in the following
year. And I think, you know, not to depart too far from the community aspect of it. So we have a podcasting community, and many of us have our Oshkosh communities, you know, whether it's Camp Bacon or Vintage or the North 40, or the Flight Line Operations Volunteers. You know, you can be in as many communities as you want simultaneously and get fulfilling experiences just being in as much or as many of them as you want to be every time you come. But I think as a testimonial to the aviation community as a whole and the podcast aviation community as in particular, you know, we have multiple podcasts represented tonight here on this episode. And a lot of it is, you know, comes together because of Airplane Geeks and a few others that started way back when. And that's, as everybody says, that's why we come back. And it's just an experience of being part of a community in a way that you can only get under certain circumstances. And one of those is just the family-oriented, everybody's on the same page kind of situation. So, like, when you're camping here, you can go up to a charging station and leave your stuff to charge all day, all night, walk away, come back. Your camping gear is still there. Your electronics are still there. Nobody's messed with your stuff.
Right, exactly.
You can't do that anywhere else.
I haven't locked the car since I've been here, and it's stuffed with, you know, high-end recording gear, and I've got I don't know how many thousands of dollars of camera equipment. And
he is located at...
Yeah. Where's your parking spot?
I think that's funny to that point. We did an interview today, and we're over out in the middle of Boeing Plaza, and Greg, who's still relatively new to Oshkosh, I just set down my bag next to the edge of the airplane, and well, we moved to someplace else to record, and he's like, "Mike, is this your bag?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's cool there, it's fine," and he picks it up and just moves it over by us, because he hasn't experienced the fact and the trust that we all have of, oh wait, I can plug this in here and leave it. Or I can go to the media center and leave everything that I have to record my podcast because it needs to charge, and it's not going to move a millimeter while I'm away. Another thing that I love about the community and, you know, getting in a rut coming to Oshkosh doing the same things, what I've done over the last 4 years and which I've loved, I've gotten together with a group of friends which I've met here, and we kind of go around Oshkosh as a group. And there's no rules. It doesn't work. It just works out this way. Someone has an idea. Hey, let's go here. It seems interesting. So we all just go and follow them. And it's how you get to experience and expand your passion for aviation. You get to expand and see something new. Greg earlier was talking about not taking his wife to a welding seminar. And Jennifer goes, "Why not? I went to one time. It was really, really interesting." I mean, it's, you might not fit in that
Jennifer
niche, but
of Tales from the Terminal blog.
Go over to those forums and just sit down. Heck, if you have nothing to do one day here at Oshkosh, just go sit in one forum booth and just sit there all day and just listen to the different topics that come through as it goes through. Another thing about the community is I interviewed a teacher today who flew an airplane up from Texas that her class built. And it was this whole nonprofit organization that donates and gives RV kits to different student and schools for them to build them. The students build them. The students get it all ready. They fly it. The not-for-profit still owns the airplane. And then once they get done with their first kit, they send them another kit to build airplane number two. And once airplane number two is up and running and operational, the not-for-profit then goes and sells airplane number one to then fund more kits for other schools. And they came up as a flight of three in RVs. And this teacher's passion for aviation and engineering, started 3 years ago, and no one knew what her class was going to be about. And they all thought she was joking and said, "All right, we're going to build an airplane this year." And now she has two classes. She teaches robotics and engineering. She has two classes, two periods, that all they do is they build an RV. And they go through and they build the RV, and every year they crank out a new airplane. Or in this current build, because of COVID, it's a three-year build. But they're cranking out a brand-new airplane, and she learned how to fly in the airplane, and she flew it to Oshkosh.
Amazing, yeah. And you see that story, you hear that story over and over.
And another community weirdness, somehow we managed to be very good friends with the command... the commanding officer of one of the display aircraft from the U.S. Air Force. Yeah, so Captain, Major Rick Bell, who's the captain or the pilot in command of the C-17 that's on display, is a very good friend of the aviation podcasting community. And it's like, what are the odds?
The first time I met him was at the Pittsburgh Air Show.
Yeah, he arranged the Pittsburgh Air Show, invited all of us.
Yes, yes. And, you know, a great guy. It takes you about... a minute before you decide that this is a really great guy, and he's a major now, right?
Yeah, he's a major.
He's a major now, and of course he transitioned, or that unit transitioned from the C-130s to the C-17s, which was a big change,
right? And with the humanitarian angle on this year's air venture, his unit does a lot of humanitarian work, so it was a real no-brainer to pick them to bring some really interesting equipment aboard as part of that overall humanitarian mission of the Air Force.
Yeah, they had a basically a hospital in a container that was
infectious disease unit containment unit.
Yeah, say it again.
I think it's an infectious disease containment unit.
Okay, and it's just in the middle of the cargo area of the C-17. And they fly a variety of different missions. He described some of them to us, including helping a baby girl that needed transportation along with her family for medical reasons, and just a great thing. You know, I love it. I got the same kind of thing from the Orbis folks talking to them, where you know, you see aviation being used for this wonderful humanitarian purposes, and you can just feel it in the way the people who are participating in that describe it and what it means to them to be able to provide things for helping other people.
They sound like they could die happy right now.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think that was a great theme for one of the themes for this year's event. Another thing that I really wasn't aware of was the museum here. And a few days ago, we went to the EAA museum, which turns out that's a big museum. It's kind of hard to I don't think you can see the whole thing in a day, if you really really look carefully. But a really nice museum, a lot of interesting aircraft.
I think Max needs a little more caffeine so he can take some more in.
No, this whole thing's great. I remember going to an aviation museum when I was little, and I remember this always had this envision of a Spirit of St. Louis on top of a table of a Lego Paris. And I had that growing up, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was in Oshkosh, but I don't remember. But it was 4 years ago when I went over the museum. It's still there. There's the Lego Paris, and the Spirit of St. Louis is right on top of it.
I walked up to that, and yeah, it is suspended over, and it's sort of like a silhouette but a 3D of Paris, and my first thought was, man, somebody must have spent days and days and days making these little boxes and stacking them up to make buildings of Paris. And then I looked carefully, and I said, those are Legos.
Yeah.
So yeah, big surprise. But they have some, and they're expanding. We heard about that this morning. They're expanding the museum, adding some like kid venture kinds of things, some STEM stuff. They're putting in a number of flight simulators.
Yeah, it's going to be a two-story building. We got the mail in as members asking to fund it, and I read through the information, and I go, this is something for the EAA. I'm ready to whip out my checkbook and support. This is the next step. This is great. The two-story building, first story is basically being a permanent pilot proficiency center for year-round, of allowing pilots to come in and do what they do here in the pilot proficiency center. And then upstairs being a kid venture year-round, and going through and having STEM rooms that are completely flexible to change the program to whatever their needs are for that day. And it's just another way, as Jack Pelton would say, to get our hooks in the young kids, to get them into where they want to be.
All right. Well, I think we should start to wrap this up because we're getting close to start time of the event, and we are in the middle of this sea of seats, and we are becoming an island surrounded by the people who are here to not be bothered by us.
Well, we asked Laura to, save seats for us for, the last 2 months. And, she did it with the Aviation Podcast. So I think it's mission accomplished.
Absolutely. Are we going to be able to convince or shame Jennifer to say hello?
Yeah, we can shame her.
How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. How are you? How are you enjoying
Jennifer's
your first
Oshkosh?
It's been amazing. It's been truly amazing. I knew it was going to be amazing. I mean, you can't not know that it's going to be amazing just listening to, other people. But it's kind of more amazing than that.
You can't understand it until you've come here.
Yeah, yeah.
You really can't. Someone can try to explain it to you. And I know I've tried to explain it to dozens of people, and they look at you and they nod and they're like, so it's an air show? Well, yeah. Sort of.
Yeah.
And they have to come and see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what's going on with you aviation-wise these days?
What's going on with me? Well, I'm still doing accounting at the airport.
Yep.
I moved completely over to the receivable side, which means all the billing that happens, that's me.
Yep.
So everything from T-hangers to cargo landing fees to turn fees to concession fees to you name it, I'm on it. So it's been challenging, but it's interesting. I've learned a lot.
Good. Yeah. I noticed on Twitter you posted a photo of some ground support equipment.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the ground support equipment.
I think so.
I've got people here looking out for stairs trucks for me. Somebody located one where they, unfortunately for them, left the keys in it. So once I leave here, I'll be seeing if I can track that down.
But you finally were able to succeed, to get a desk with a view a ramp.
So my big accomplishment in the last year is I got a new desk. It's by the window. It looks out to the south airfield, so I can see the ramp. I can see the runway. And, yes, I can still get my work done.
Fantastic.
There's a lot of question about whether I'd actually do anything once I got the desk, and yeah.
But you got the view. All right, well, let's just go around quickly, and if you've got a podcast, a website, Twitter, anything where people can follow you, find you, harass you.
I think the easiest for me is just on Twitter at HI11E1. So it's the letters H, the letter I, the number 1, so it's HI11E1 on Twitter.
Got it? Okay.
So I'm on Instagram at @space_Davis, and Twitter is at @space__Davis.
Hi, it's Tim. You can find me, easiest way right now is probably Instagram, RV6TAS.
Great.
As I build my profile on there.
And Logan Lynch, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @PilotLoganLynch.
Dispatch Greg, I'm out on Twitter at DXDude1978. And or Facebook, too, if you want to find me there.
And I am David Abbey, and Twitter is at David Abbey, ABBEY.
You got your own name on Twitter?
Yeah, I was an early adopter, whatever they call that.
Good for you.
Hi, Jennifer. You can find my blog at talesfromtheterminal.com, and you can find links to my social media from the blog.
And Michael Carroll's Dispatcher Mike, flyinginlife.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all under Flying in Life.
All right, things are really starting now, so you can find us at airplanegeeks.com. Show notes at airplanegeeks.com/633. I want to thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again probably in 1 week's time.
Unless you decide to do another podcast from Oshkosh,
which is a possibility.
So this might become part one or A or B or something.
Yes, very likely, actually. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Airplane Geeks. This is Martin Kemp from the Mooney Caravan. And we just wanted to say thanks Launchpad, for the chocolates. May he rest in peace. We loved him. Thank you.